Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 17 through 23, we're going to study the military advantages of the Philistines. We're going to study the military advantages of the Philistines. You know, a lot of times you read the Bible and you think, well, I'm going to come to this Bible and I'm going to look for all kinds of spiritual truth. And in fact, you should. And I'm going to look for help in life. And that's a good thing to look for. But you know, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible. And the Bible pertains to so many different areas of life that, for instance, a soldier can read the Bible and learn a lot about warfare. A manager can read the Bible and learn a lot about management. A businessman can read the Bible and learn a lot about business. A politician can read the Bible and learn a lot about politics. A preacher can read the Bible and learn a lot about the ministry. A husband can read the Bible and learn a lot about marriage. A wife can read the Bible and learn a lot about marriage and child rearing. And on it goes. The Bible applies to so many different areas of life. And one of the benefits of that is that people who read the Bible come from all different kinds of walks of life. And when they see things that they understand in the Bible, there's an identification. There is a camaraderie. There is a communication that's very specific. I was in the banking business when I began to read the Bible. And because the Bible had so much to say about money, I became a better banker as a result of reading the Bible. Now, I didn't get to stay in very long after I started reading it. It was time to go into the ministry, but I noticed and have said many times before, had I been a Bible reader when I was a banker, I would have been a far greater or better banker than I was. And the Bible really helps you. I think it would help you in a law practice. I think it would help you in medical practice. I think it helps you in every area of life. And you need passages like we're going to study today, I think, to be able to appreciate the Bible and its vast array of information and knowledge. And it doesn't all pertain to salvation. It doesn't always pertain to some of those main things like relationships that people here preach today. It pertains to a lot of things. And here, you're going to find some excellent military advantages that the Philistines had that a commander could use in giving him a leg up, if you will, against his enemy in a battle. All right, what are some of the military advantages of the Philistines? Number one, superior troop strength. Superior troop strength. Look in verse 5. I know it's not in the text we read today, but it's in the text we've been studying recently. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 5, the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude, and they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Bethaven. All right, so superior troop strength. If you're going to go into a battle and you want to win, I think it's important that you outnumber the enemy. As a matter of fact, when you read in the book of Luke, the Lord talked about counting the cost of discipleship before going into discipleship, and he used other things to illustrate the principle. He said, how many people go into war before they figure out how strong the enemy is? Now, he didn't word it exactly like I'm saying it. It's worded differently than that, but you understand the principle. He said, you know, the principle is very simply this. You might start in the war and then assess the troop strength of your enemy and find out that they have twice as many soldiers as you do, and suddenly you're no longer interested in the fight. You're interested in some sort of a peace settlement that allows you to get out with the lives of your soldiers without putting everybody's life at risk. And so that particular principle of sizing up troop strength is very important. The passage I'm talking about in Luke is Luke chapter 14. And he's talking about counting the cost of going into discipleship. And so he says, if a man's going to build a tower, he's going to count the cost. And then watch this. In Luke chapter 14, verse 31, what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. All right, so in other words, this king counts the cost and realizes, I don't have the troop strength to defeat my enemy. Now, he would count the cost on that. He may say, my 10,000 soldiers are better soldiers than his 20,000, and even though I'm outnumbered 2-1, I'm going to go ahead and go into the battle because I know that I can beat him. But ordinarily, if you're fighting against a man that has twice as many soldiers as you do, you're at a great disadvantage, and that's the point of Luke chapter 14, verses 31 and 32. All right? So the Philistines size up the situation here, and they think one advantage that we can definitely give ourselves in a possible fight with Israel is that we will come to them with superior troop strength. We're going to outnumber them. Now, what are the differences in number? Well, Saul and Jonathan, his son, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 16, and the people present with them abode in Gibeah in Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. How many did they have? 1 Samuel 13, verse 15, Samuel arose, gat him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him about 600 men. So you got 600 men against an innumerable amount of soldiers plus 6,000 chariots and, 6,000 horsemen and 30,000 chariots. unless God intervenes, there's not going to be much of a fight here. Okay? So that's one of the military advantages. At least that's what the Philistines are hoping to accomplish against Israel in this upcoming battle. Now, some things are going to change, and we understand that because God gets involved, and thank the Lord for that. All right, number one, the military advantage of the Philistines is superior troop strength. And if you are fighting and you have the opportunity, you should build up superior troop strength against your enemy. Now, I realize that we have elite forces, and as I told you, you can be outnumbered with elite forces and still prevail. So that needs to be considered in the calculation. Number two, the military advantage of the Philistines is that they had spoilers. They had spoilers. All right, look in verse 17 and 18. Verses 17 and 18. Spoilers. The Bible says, the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth to Ophrah, unto the land of Shual. Another company turned the way to Beth-horon. And another company turned to the way of the border that looketh toward the valley of Zeboim, toward the wilderness. Now, Zeboim, you would not be able to locate on a atlas, because right now, at least, it is only supposed where this place is. But it is supposed that that place is near the land of the Philistines, okay? So the other two places you can identify, Ophrah and Beth-horon, you can identify. All right? Now, Ophrah, let's look at that one first. Ophrah on the map is located north of Michmash and a little bit to the east. And it is a place where the spoilers are able to go, basically north of where the troops are gathered at Michmash, okay? And also, both of those places are north of Gibeah. So he says one of them goes up to Ophrah. The next group goes to Beth Horon. Well, Beth Horon can also be located on the map. It is going to be west of Michmash. So basically, you've got them going up north, west, and then further west, which is fine because that takes them back to the land where they came from. And what do these spoilers do? Well, if you look up the word in the dictionary, and I encourage you to do that, by the way, when you're trying to figure something out and you're not sure what it is, rather than guess, go to a dictionary. You say, well, I'm too lazy to look up the words. Then you're never going to understand the Bible. I mean, even words that are fairly easy to understand, you ought to look up because you want to make sure you understand them in the context where they are. A spoiler is a plunderer. A spoiler is a robber. You say, well, what in the world would they be sending robbers out of their garrison for? Well, it's very simple. You got to feed these guys. And logistically, it's very difficult to bring enough food and water and other material for that size of an army with you all the way from the place where you came. So what do? You use your spoilers to go, and what do? They kill cattle or steal them, and sheep and goats. They'll steal crops. They'll steal bagged up, the seeds and various things like that, like rice and so forth that might be stored away, barley and things like that. They'll go steal all of that. They'll plunder hay for the horses, all that kind of stuff, and they'll bring it back to the garrison to keep the soldiers and the animals fed. They'll also go and spoil water and other kinds of things like that so that they can keep them, with everything they need, water for cleansing and water for drinking and water for cooking and all that other kind of stuff. That's what the military calls logistics. Logistics. Honestly, before a military engages on foreign soil, an enemy, what they have to do is they have to go in, they have to figure out how are we going to supply our soldiers. I had a great uncle who years ago, I'm talking about in the 20s or 30s, was in Mexico when a revolution broke out. His occupation was railroad engineer, and he was called down there to bid against other engineers on constructing some rails down in Mexico. Well, when this revolution broke out, everybody left, but he stayed. And what he did is he built rail for the government to be able to provide silver to pay the soldiers and to provide ammunition so that they would be armed and to provide other supplies like water and food so that they would be nourished. Well, it's obvious that side won. Why? Because their logistics were better. They had their necessities met. So this is a very small, brilliant military strategy here, and provides a tremendous advantage for the Philistines because they can then stay in Michmash against Gibeah and prepare for the battle and keep the soldiers content and well-fed and strong and ready for the fight. All right, so one military advantage was their superior troop strength, and the second military advantage was their logistics. They had spoilers and could take care of themselves in that area for a long time. All right, what's the next thing they had that was a tremendous military advantage? Well, it was gun control. Gun control. Look at verse 19, all the way to the end of the chapter. All right, verse 19. The Bible says, "Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found." So what are we talking about here? Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 19 to 22, we're talking about gun control. You say, well, they didn't have any guns. You're right. But I thought I would put it in a modern context so you could understand and get it. The Philistines were dominating in Israel. Kind of like the Romans were dominating in Israel when Jesus Christ was here. And the Philistines had Israel under thumb, and one of the ways they kept them under thumb was to control their ability to make weapons. There was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. So what the Philistines did is they controlled the ability of Israel to produce weapons. So I guess I should say weapon control if we were really going to put it in the context of the chapter we're studying, but gun control if I wanted to get your attention. Do you understand that gun control is not about safety between citizens? It never has been. It's sold that way. They'll tell you, well, we're going to put in gun control and that will protect you from the criminals. You've lived long enough and hopefully have studied enough to recognize that the true reason for gun control is never to protect the citizens from themselves or to protect you from a criminal. If I want to protect myself from a criminal, the thing for me to do is become proficient in handling a weapon, legally possess a firearm, probably get more training so that I know exactly how to use it and protect it in my household and become proficient so that if I'm ever faced with a burglar in my house that is armed, I can save the life of my wife and children, even if it means, unfortunately, having to take this criminal's life. And I say unfortunately because it's unfortunate that anybody would have to die, but under circumstances, if somebody's going to die, far be it better the trespasser, okay, than the legal residence. You understand? He had no business being in your house in the first place. That's what's called the castle law. A lot of people own guns. They probably aren't proficient in the use of them. You ought to be. The Philistines knew that if these Jews would have weapons, they wouldn't use them so much to protect themselves from themselves, but they would use them in a battle against the Philistines and would be able to gain the upper hand. So the other reason for gun control is so that the government can control its people, or so that the foreign occupier can control the people. Go back and study history and notice in every country where there was gun control laws, at first it appeared to be a good thing so that you wouldn't have citizen deaths. That's the way it was sold. But in the end, it turned out to be a tragedy because you had a man like Hitler that came into office and then used the fact that he had the military strength and an unprotected citizenry to then begin exterminating entire races of people. Do you understand? The Philistines knew what they were doing. It was a tremendous military advantage. I don't suggest that we employ that military advantage here. I've often told friends who are having fears about friends they know down in Mexico. I said the best way in the world for the Mexican people to be able to protect themselves is not to depend upon policemen, for instance, to provide their protection, but the citizenry ought to be armed. The drug cartels would have a far more difficult time coming up to people's houses and robbing them to continue to get money from them and spoil them like these spoilers were doing if the citizens were armed. But they're not going to go backwards on the laws that they've already instituted, and nor did the Philistines go backward on the laws they did. Okay, just definitions real quick so you know what some of these things are, and we'll move on to another point. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 20, the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share. A share is a plowshare. That's the cutting blade of a plow. And his coulter. A coulter is a blade or a wheel on a plow for vertical cuts. So today we have discs. Okay? That's a coulter. And his axe, you know what that is. And his mattock. A mattock is a digging tool with the blade at right angle to the handle, used with a downward motion. So, like a grubbing hoe, that's a mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes to sharpen the goads. In other words, the file could be used to sharpen these instruments, but the file couldn't be used to change the instrument from a coulter or a share or a mattock into a sword or a spear. Okay? That's where the smiths came in. The smiths that were able to provide all that kind of stuff, they were controlled. They were the ones that were down there with the Philistines. All right, so they used superior troop strength. They used better logistics. They used weapon control, or in this case, gun control. Okay? The next advantage that the Philistines had militarily is strategic location. Strategic location. Verse 23, 1 Samuel chapter 13, the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. Michmash. All right, well, if you take the place where Israel is located, they are in Gibeah of Benjamin. Gibeah of Benjamin is located south of Michmash. Do you remember any prior lessons, what we've taught you from history and what we taught you from the Bible about strategic location? Which army wins, the one that attacks from the south or the one that attacks from the north? All right, if you said the one that attacks from the north, you're absolutely right. That's exactly right. For some strange reason, and I think it has a lot to do with the Bible and the Bible's control of human events. The gospel moves east to west. Military advantage is gained from the north to the south. Who won the Civil War? You say, well, the North did. That's right. If you look in the change of what is that? Worldwide powers, rulers, like Pharaoh, like Nebuchadnezzar, like Darius and Cyrus, like Alexander the Great, like the Caesars. Each successive world ruler is more northerly than the prior world ruler. And that's why the Bible, you can look it up in your concordance, so you might remember it from your own reading. That's why the Bible keeps telling you that from the north, the attack is going to come on Israel. From the north, the Lord comes to defeat the Antichrist. Because strategically and biblically and historically, the advantage goes to the group that attacks, or the country that attacks from the north. So the military advantage of the Philistines in this particular battle is they are in a better strategic location for the battle. All right, then there's one more in this passage of Scripture, one more military advantage of the Philistines, and it's also found in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 23, and that is the word garrison. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. And that advantage is fortifications. In other words, it's one thing to be able to send out your spoilers to go get food and supplies for your soldiers, but it's another thing to be able to protect your soldiers and the food and supplies while you are waiting to engage the enemy in battle. They had fortifications. They had a garrison. And with that garrison, they could have sentries. With that garrison, they could have bulwarks. With that garrison, they could have trenches. They had all kinds of things that they could employ with the garrison in order to protect the soldiers. And whenever an enemy can get that type of strategic hold on an area in order to protect its men, well, then they are going to be hard to dislodge from the area, because they've got a way to protect themselves in the event that the enemy wants to come in and make an attack against them. You see how this thing goes. I mean, in other words, these guys, if you think about it, they thought about some of the very principal things that a military would need to consider when you go in on your enemy that you're going to fight on their soil. You've got to have a way to be able to fortify your soldiers so they can protect themselves against a nighttime raid, against a daytime frontal attack or flanking maneuvers or anything else like that. They had a garrison. So just emphasizing in this particular passage of Scripture some things that we ought to recognize that God has recorded for us, and something that would help you if you were ever considering some military war history, or if you ever were considering your obligations as a soldier or a man in the military. Look at the things that the Philistines had to their advantage. Superior troop strength in verse 15 and verse 5 of 1 Samuel 13. Logistics, they sent out the spoilers in verses 17 and 18. Weapon control, what I call gun control, in verses 19 to 22. The strategic location, they were going to attack from the north in verse 23. And fortifications in order to be able to protect the soldiers 24 hours a day while they were preparing for the attack. They could drill everything else they needed to do right there within that garrison. Now, let me tell you something. You'd be very wise if you were in some sort of a military command to consider what the Philistines did here and evaluate your own position in an attempted attack or possession and occupation of a foreign land and see concerning these areas of advantages how you sized up. As I told you, the Bible itself is a remarkable book and covers an awful lot of subjects for us today. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages, or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.